I'm Christine Pittman, and this is Jump to Recipe, the show for busy people who love to cook. Let's jump in. Thanksgiving is this week for those of us who love to cook. I know that's you, and it's definitely me. It is a big week. Lots of thinking, planning, prepping, and cooking. Some of my favorite foods show up at Thanksgiving, too. I love stuffing. I'm just obsessed with it. I really like cranberry relish, too. I love so many of the flavors that are Thanksgiving, and I know you do, too, for sure. So I am going to say that I am not actually going to be talking about Thanksgiving cooking this week. Instead, I'm going to direct you to one of my very first episodes of this show. So much has changed since then. We were Time Management Insider. I'm talking about episode number 6. So if you're listening to this on like a podcast app, you can just scroll all the way back to number 6. It's called How to Make Thanksgiving Dinner. Or you can go to cookthestory.com/meal plans and then find episode 6 from there. But what that one is, it's a really long episode. It is a conversation with my mom, Phyllis Pittman, who has catered, we think, over 1,000 turkey dinners in her life as a, you know, professional restaurant owner and a caterer. She has done so much. She is the expert on turkey dinners, and we talk about all of it, all the tips for make ahead, all the tips for the best turkey, best gravy, best stuffing, how to keep your potatoes warm. It is all in there. Like I said, it is an older episode. A lot has changed. It might sound a little bit weird, but that conversation is pure gold. So head to cookthestory.com/meal plans and navigate over to number 6. There you'll see the conversation with us. And there's all the links to the recipes that we talk about there too. So if you're planning out your meal, looking for things to serve, you're going to find everything you need to make the best stuffing, best potatoes. It's all there. So with that episode already done, I thought that instead of talking about Thanksgiving, I would give you some nice distraction and thoughts for while you're cooking and you're prepping. To that end, I'm going to tell you that we have our first official sponsor of my podcasts, both this one, Jump to Recipe, and my other podcast, Recipe of the Day. It is Tufayan Bakeries. We are so excited to be working with them. They do pitas, bagels, wraps. They do tandoori flatbreads, all of that kind of stuff. You're going to find it in the deli section of your grocery store, or you can go to amazon.com/Tufayan Bakeries and see all of their things there. That is an Amazon store that they have, so then everything is shipped from their bakery to you directly. There's no other person involved selling the stuff on Amazon. And you can use coupon code COOKTHESTORY from November 17th until December 17th, and that is going to get you 20% off of any of their items. So if you can't get them in your grocery store, you can definitely get them on Amazon. And I'll put a link to that. So that's Tufayan Bakeries. The Amazon store is amazon.com/Tufayan Bakeries, and the coupon code is COOKTHESTORY for 20% off. And I'm just going to tell you, this company is so amazing. It's a family-owned, third-generation company that has been baking these breads since 1926. They have over 100 products. They have the pitas, the bagels. They have low-carb things, gluten-free things, all of that. And so because they're my sponsor this week, I wanted to work their products into the meal plan to show you just how versatile these things can be. There are some brunch things, some lunch things, some dinner things. All of them can be made into dinner. So if you're doing a normal week this week, not during Thanksgiving, these can be your dinners. But if you have family over, if you have other things going on, this can be a brunch item or there can be a lunch item. So there's just all kinds of things like that, all featuring the bagels, pitas, and wraps. And you'll see just how handy they are to have. So that will be in the meal plan at the end of the show. And now I am turning to the interview for this week. It is such a good little distraction for you to start thinking about travel. I love traveling in a way that involves food. And this is actually kind of funny because my boyfriend, Marty, he's this like big nature guy and he loves national parks. There are 63 national parks in the United States. He has been to 38 of them. And I, with him, have been to 16 of them. We do a lot of these parks. We see them in a variety of ways and we hike at them. Those are the vacations that he plans and the days that he plans for us. When it is my turn to plan, I love to go to cities and I love to go to restaurants and I love doing food tours. And so if I can find a great food tour, I am all about it, which is why I am so excited to be talking with Rebecca Wheeler today. Rebecca owns Chicago Food Walks, which is kind of like a boutique, small food walk tour company in Chicago. She does these personalized experiences. And so she's telling us about that. And she's also giving us some wonderful tips and things to think about for when we want to include food tours into our vacations. So let us talk to Rebecca Wheeler from Chicago Food Walks. Hey, Rebecca, how's it going?
Good. Thanks so much for having me.
I'm really happy you're here. Now, I have had other people on who do food tourism before, and you are specifically doing food walking tours in Chicago, which is one of my favorite cities to visit. And so I'm really excited to hear about this from your perspective, what's going on with Chicago food, Chicago food tours. But first, I want to know how you ended up doing this in the first place. How did you end up with a food tour in Chicago?
Well, the food tours really are an extension of cooking classes that I was teaching. And so this is way back in the early 2000s. And I was teaching both private classes in people's homes and then at local cooking schools. And I love all the sort of different international foods. So I was always at the cooking school trying to grab like the Thai classes and Vietnamese and Indian and Chinese. And that's just like my first love in cooking. And I was also teaching private Thai cooking classes and Indian cooking classes. And I noticed with my private students, always a lot of good questions about where to shop, how to find things, how to track these ingredients down. And I started to, in some cases, meet them at like a Vietnamese market to learn how to shop for, you know, say lemongrass or find some of these specific things that we needed. And when we would meet at the market, people always had like tons of questions about the neighborhood, like, where do I go get pho? Or what's a good, you know, there's so many bakeries, which one is the best? And it's kind of like a little light bulb went off that it would be a good place to do a food tour. And I have to say, like, at this time, there were not any food tours in Chicago. It was not yet a business or an industry. But there was one woman, I believe her name is Evelyn Thompson, and almost like pre-internet, I found this little blurb in Food and Wine that was like grocery market tour with Evelyn Thompson in Chicago. And I did one with her. We got in her car and drove around to the Cuban market and the Mexican market and Vietnamese market. And it was just so much fun. And I think she did them for years and years. I'm not sure if she's still doing it, but it kind of planted a seed. And that was like, you know, like I said, we were in her car going around, but with many of the neighborhoods in Chicago, they're walkable. So the Vietnamese neighborhood, which we kind of call the Argyle area or New Chinatown, most Chicagoans don't call it that, but there's a reason why it's called that. And for that neighborhood, it's just a few blocks. It's a pretty walkable area and it's really close to the cooking school where I used to teach. So before I even started my private food tour business, I would have a class at the Wooden Spoon where we would go to the Argyle area shop, stop at like a banh mi sandwich shop, go to the Vietnamese market, maybe one other place, and then we would come back and cook with the stuff that we bought. So those kind of combo classes always sold out, did really well. People loved them. And it kind of just spun off from there. I added our Indian area, which is Devon Avenue a few years after. So this is all like 2004. And then I went to China in 2009 and I added a Chinatown tour after that.
Oh, wow. So you have three different walking food tours in Chicago.
Yeah. The Vietnamese neighborhood, the Indian Pakistani neighborhood and Chinatown.
Oh, wow. That's amazing. So can you walk me through one of them? Just like what would you do on one of these tours?
Yeah. So in Chinatown, we typically start at a really classic Chinese bakery that's been around since the mid 1980s. We'll start with some type of bao or like a baked bun, which are made fresh every day. This bakery is known for them. each of my tours is a private food tour. So it's just your group or your family, or, you know, it's not a mix up of strangers. It's just you booked it for the day. And so every time we go, it's a little bit different and every tour is a little bit different. But I have, of course, like favorite places. So that bakery is one of them. So we might get a barbecue pork bun, maybe some Hong Kong style milk tea. And then we spend a little bit of time learning about the history, talking about some of the architectural highlights of Chinatown. There's some beautiful historic buildings there, and a replica of a Nine Dragon Wall, for example. And then we might go to a dumpling shop and get some steamed or pan-fried dumplings. We'll spend some time in the newer part of Chinatown and go to like a restaurant supply shop, maybe like a dry goods market or one of the supermarkets in Chinatown. And we will maybe get bubble tea if it's summertime. Sometimes we hit up the candy shop, especially if I have younger people on the tour. That's always, actually, it's popular with all ages. Who am I kidding? It's a really fun little shop because it's got all the like candy from China and Hong Kong and Taiwan and all these places, but then it has traditional snacks as well. And then we typically either finish with a full dim sum lunch or a Szechuan meal, kind of depending on what people are into. And yeah, I mean, that's kind of like a typical snapshot. It depends a lot on who I have. Sometimes I have people who are really big cooks. We're going to focus more on cooking and going time in the market, time in a restaurant supply shop. And, you know, it depends on the ages, the family members and that type of thing.
So how long does the tour take from beginning to end?
It's about 3 hours.
And how, now I'm thinking about this just for me. Sorry, it's becoming about me. So I have a soon to be 11-year-old and a 14-year-old. Is that the 11-year-old has trouble going on some of the long hikes that we do? How much walking is actually involved?
It's anywhere from maybe 3 to 5 blocks top. All of these neighborhoods are fairly concentrated. So like in Chinatown, we're just covering 3 or 4 blocks.
Oh yeah. So that's totally doable for anybody. And I love, so this is, it's customizable so you can cater to the group, and then it's a private tour. You know what? I'm just realizing of the tours you do, you're not doing any pizza. Is that an intentional choice?
Well, yes, definitely. I mean, the tours that I'm leading really reflect my areas that I'm most passionate about. And I mean, I am Midwestern born and raised, but I was really influenced by my grandmother. She was in the Peace Corps in Malaysia, and I had an aunt who lived in Malaysia for 7 years. And my grandma came back from Malaysia and brought back the spices and would make this, in particular, this Malaysian beef curry. Every time I came to visit her, she would make it. And she would even get a coconut somehow in rural Ohio and crack it open and make coconut milk from scratch. And I just fell in love with the idea of these places. I fell in love with travel because of my grandma and with the food. So when I moved to Chicago after college and there was like a Thai restaurant on every corner, I was super excited to be eating Thai food all the time, but I wanted to learn more about it. And I asked the chef at my favorite restaurant if she would teach me. And I started to learn about Thai food from her, and then started traveling to Southeast Asia more. So it's just what I'm most passionate and most knowledgeable about. And I mean, I love pizza. Who doesn't love pizza? But it's the neighborhoods. It's the intersection of the food and the culture and the people that interests me the most.
Yeah, that makes perfect sense. And probably, I've been to Chicago. It's not hard to find the pizza, but it would be hard as somebody who doesn't know Chicago to find these neighborhoods and find the best thing to do in them, probably, right?
Yeah. And I mean, they're very accessible if people kind of make the effort. The issue is more if you're walking down like Devon Avenue, it's about a mile long stretch and it's all Indian and Pakistani owned businesses. So it's just like where to start. Yeah. So sometimes I kind of think of my tours as like being, you know, being in the neighborhood with like a friend who really knows really knows the neighborhood and can kind of cut to the chase and be like, oh, I love this place for this reason. And because it's just becomes a little bit of overchoice, particularly like Chinatown. There's so many good places where do you start? So it's helpful in that way, but certainly a lot has changed since I started doing these in the early 2000s. Like back then, people were kind of more intimidated, like, oh, I don't know, is this a neighborhood that, will I be welcomed? Will I? And now it's just, there's a little bit more like intrepid nature. Like people are more comfortable going into markets and places that maybe they wouldn't have before. I think we have a lot more media coverage and just a better foundation of knowledge about these different cuisines as well. Mm-hmm. And a lot more familiarity for sure. But 20 years ago, most people had never heard of like a banh mi sandwich. And now a lot of people know about that.
Yes, yes, absolutely. I have a recipe for one on my site, actually. That's how, like, they're, yeah, they're all over. So these neighborhoods, the three neighborhoods, were, are they still at places where immigrants from these countries are coming and choosing to live, or has it become gentrified? Is it changing? Can you give me a little snapshot of the history there? I'm really interested in that.
Yeah, that's a really good question and a kind of a challenging one to ask because each area is different. Mm. But I will say definitely Chinatown is still a very significant sort of place where a lot of new immigrants are going to initially start off. And at least according to kind of the data that I've found, it seems that there's still a lot of new immigrants living there. So it's that's still very much a growing, thriving area. Devon Avenue, which has is the Indian Pakistani area, started to become Indian in the late 1970s and 80s and has consistently really been a strong commercial area of significance. But I don't really know what the census data is about. Well, how many like new immigrants mm-hmm. are living there? Mm-hmm. It's still definitely a lot of Indians and Pakistanis living around there, but there's always these demographic shifts. And all over the north side of Chicago, you see kind of gentrification happening at different rates. Mm-hmm. Same is true of the Argyle area. I think there's probably no question that there's fewer Vietnamese people living there as the years have gone on. Mm-hmm. But it's also kind of hard to pinpoint that data. And both of all of those neighborhoods, I think you do see the trend that you find in other areas where people might be starting out in a city neighborhood, but as they become more established financially in their careers, they choose to move to the suburbs mm-hmm. for reasons that many people do for mm-hmm. the school systems, for more space, that type of thing. But the Argyle neighborhood in particular, the Vietnamese area is a really unique part of Chicago. And there's a lot of interesting history there, but it's not as Vietnamese as it used to be, but that's, you know, it still has a strong Vietnamese character.
Yeah. Yeah.
That makes a lot of diversity there.
Yeah. That makes sense to me. It's just really fascinating. The area that I lived in Toronto was the Greek town. And it originally had, like, it was where all the Greek immigrants moved to when they first came. And it had the Greek churches and tons of Greek restaurants and markets. And all of that has stayed. It's still Greek restaurants. I mean, there's other kinds of restaurants and markets, but Greek restaurants, Greek markets, Greek churches. But the people who actually live there are like college students and just family. Like, just, it's just like it's shifted in that way. But the businesses have stayed and the characters still there. And they have a Greek festival, street festival every year. So it's no longer necessarily a Greek community. I think there still are, but I don't want to overstate that. But it's like, it's very, very vibrant and diverse, but it still has that character to it, you know?
I mean, these neighborhoods are always changing and we definitely have neighborhoods that have disappeared. I mean, like we used to sort of have a Koreatown. There was a stretch of Lawrence Avenue that was very Korean and it's just kind of dissipated over the years. For again, like a whole set of reasons. And our Greek town is not really Greek town anymore. And mm-hmm. our little Italy is not as Italian as it used to be. Mm-hmm. So and it's sad kind of when you lose those neighborhoods. And it's interesting to look at like, well, what makes an enclave kind of strong and what helps it thrive and grow? And there's been a lot of good conversation and media coverage and people trying to understand, in particular in American Chinatowns, like which ones are growing and thriving and why. But it's pretty complex too.
Oh yeah, for sure. So I want to switch tack a little bit here and ask for your advice. So, well, okay, first, if people are going to Chicago, they should definitely check out Chicago Food Walks and go on a tour with you. And I'm thinking about it, like I want to do all three of them. But beyond that, like when people are doing their travel to anywhere, do you have tips or thoughts for how they can find good food tours? Because I think it can be a little overwhelming. You want to sample the food somewhere, you Google for food tours, and then they cost money, like, you know, and so that it's tricky, and you're in a city that you haven't been to, so you don't have someone to ask or anything. So do you have ideas about how to start that?
Yeah, I mean, it definitely is something where you can go down a whole rabbit hole when you're researching to travel, and I do that all the time. I do think that social media can be a great resource, Instagram in particular, and I say that knowing that I'm really not great about keeping up my own Instagram profile. I'm just not a prolific poster, but a lot of people in these businesses are great about it. And it gives you a lot of insight into what would it be like to take a food tour with this business. Mm-hmm. And there tends to be kind of two different types of food tour businesses, really big, well-oiled machines where you might be one of 8 or 12 or 15 people, and the price point is pretty accessible. And they'll be on TripAdvisor or first page Google if you were to search, say, like Barcelona food tours. And I always cross-reference and look at reviews, and I'll look at their Instagram page and just try to get a sense of what they're about. What is the food going to be like that you try? And then a lot of times, at least for the way I like to travel, I'm looking for that one layer where you have to dig a little bit deeper to find maybe a food expert or somebody that is really known to be just like a great food professional in that city. So like in Rome, there's a couple of people who run food tours in Rome, and they have a big presence on Instagram. And one of them's a cookbook author, and another one leads week-long trips around Italy. And she was just on with Stanley Tucci in his latest episode. And, you know, if you kind of do some Google searches, you'll eventually come across these names, and you can dig a little bit deeper and get a sense of what their passion is. So for some people, it's particular neighborhoods. Mm-hmm. For other people, it's maybe some intersection of food with history or culture. And you can see what speaks to you, but it does take time, particularly if you want to go more of that like sustainable tourism model where it's like, okay, I want something private. I want something unique or customizable. That takes more effort, but nearly every city now in the States and many international places now have food tours, and it's a great way to get to know a place. And of course, it's delicious and fun too.
Oh, those are amazing tips. I need to find out who the people are in Rome too. I'll look them up.
I'm happy to tell you.
Well, thank you so much for talking with me today, Rebecca. I'm so excited about these food walks and just that personal touch that you bring to these tours. It's very exciting, and I'm sure people want to find out more about you. Can you let everybody know where they can find you? Instagram too, even if you're not posting prolifically on there.
I'm always saying I'm going to get better about that. Maybe this is the year, but my website is chicagofoodwalks.com. My Instagram handle's at chicagofoodwalks. Yeah, and you can find me both of those places.
That's so great. Thank you so much.
Thank you. I enjoyed it.
I love those tips so much. And those Chicago tours, don't they sound amazing? Just those little neighborhoods, really immersing yourself in the food and the culture there. I really, really can't wait to get back to Chicago so that I can do those. And I want to go to Rome. I so badly want to go do those food tours in Rome too. So exciting. Okay, so now we are going to turn to that meal plan that I was telling you about. So the idea here is that it's a 5-day meal plan like normal, and all of these meals can totally work as dinners. But if you don't need dinners for all the 5 days, because one of the days is Thanksgiving and the day after that is Thanksgiving leftovers, these will work as appetizer courses. They'll work as lunches. So there's just a bit of everything in there. There's a brunch, and they all make use of those Touffet and Bakeries products that you can get at amazon.com/Touffet and Bakeries or in the deli section of your grocery store. If you're doing the Amazon, don't forget to use coupon code COOKTHESTORY for 20% off. So yeah, so this is all meals that are making use of these very convenient items. You just have like one less thing to kind of prep because that is done for you with the bread that you've got stashed in your fridge or in your bread box. Okay, let's jump into this Tuffet and Bakery's inspired meal plan. We are starting off the week with something very sophisticated that you could do as a really lovely Monday dinner or that makes a really nice appetizer if you're just having a few people over. It is a mushroom, caramelized onion, and goat cheese flatbread. Now, the recipe calls for pizza dough, but you can instead use the tandoori flatbread, naan bread kind of thing from Tuffet. That's going to work perfectly. You're caramelizing onions with mushrooms, and then you're putting that on the flatbread with goat cheese and baking it. So good. You're going to have that if you're doing this for dinner with a tossed salad made with arugula. I'm going to be linking to my best tossed salad recipe. It's really, really neat. You actually rub the inside of the bowl with a cut garlic clove, and that brings garlic into the salad in the most amazing way. So you're going to use arugula for that and then add some tomatoes, and it's just going to be a basic kind of vinaigrette that you're tossing with the lettuce in the bowl. You could also add in some matchstick carrots and some fresh parsley because we're using those things in other recipes in the week. On day two, we're doing air fryer lamb kofta. So it's like ground lamb on a stick. You could use a different kind of ground meat if you don't want to go with the lamb. You're serving that with pita and tzatziki, or you could make baba ganoush. I'm going to link to a baba ganoush recipe because I just love having that when I'm having people over. And then you're serving that also with a mixture of chopped tomatoes, chopped cucumber, red onion, and then you can chop up arugula and parsley in there as well. I'm going to say make more of that because we're going to use it in a couple of days. I actually have a caveat to that. I don't really like tomatoes and cucumbers that are marinating for a long time in the fridge. I find them, I don't like the texture that they get. But other people, like my boyfriend, he loves that. So if you love it, you're going to make it and you're going to make extra and then you're going to have more in 2 days. If you don't like that, just make what you need for tonight and then you can make it again on the other day. And you're going to just dress that with a little bit of lemon juice and olive oil, salt, and pepper. On the third day, we are having like lunch for dinner kind of things. If you need a lunch one day, you can do it for lunch. But if you want the dinner, you can do it for the dinner. It's an avocado egg salad. So this is where you're making hard-boiled eggs, chopping them up, and then you're using avocado instead of the mayonnaise. It brings so much flavor and it's just a healthier take on egg salad. That is going into a wrap with arugula, and you're going to have that with a 15-minute vegetable soup. It is so easy to bring this together. It's so warm and cozy, and you will probably have some leftovers from it, which will make a wonderful lunch the next day. I'm just going to say the recipe calls for fresh basil, but since we were using the parsley in other things, I would skip the basil and just go with the parsley in here. And I didn't say, I mean Italian parsley, like flat leaf parsley, not the curly parsley. I really love flat leaf parsley in these kinds of recipes. I think it has just a nicer flavor and it doesn't like have that, you know, that stigma of like being stuck in your teeth or just being a garnish, any of that kind of stuff. It's a different flavor, different texture, really, really good. Flat leaf Italian parsley. Okay, now we're going to go on to day number four. We're doing Instant Pot Chicken Shawarma, and we're going to do that with pita bread. And if you made the baba ganoush the other day, you can have baba ganoush with that or the tzatziki, whichever one you were using. And this is where you're having that leftover tomato mixture. I'm just going to say, I love this Instant Pot Chicken Shawarma recipe. It's just very quick and easy. It's chicken thighs in the Instant Pot with this really great seasoning. There's like cinnamon in there. It's really, really tasty. And now we are at day number five, and you are making one of my favorite new things. You know that whole butterboard trend that has gone crazy on the internet? I have taken that and turned it into a cream cheese board, and this is a brunch board. I call it a cream cheese brunch board or smoked salmon cream cheese brunch board. It is cream cheese that's softened that you spread onto a cutting board, and then you top it with all those wonderful things that you love to have with like smoked salmon brunch. So it's like capers and dill and chives. You could do a little bit of lemon wedges on the side, a little salt and pepper, some red onion, and then you can either put some chopped up smoked salmon right on there, little pieces scattered across it, or if you're gonna have some vegetarians in the mix, you keep the smoked salmon on the side. And then crucially, you are serving this with Tuffet and bagels that you have toasted with butter and garlic powder. They are so delicious. And then you can just scoop it up off the board onto the bagels. It makes a wonderful brunch. It makes a wonderful like grazing kind of dinner. And it just looks so fancy and special. You get that like big cutting board. You spread that cream cheese over like half of it with all those beautiful toppings. And then you have these like quartered toasted bagels all piled up on the side. And I'm going to say there's just something extra clever about this, if I do say so myself. And that's like when I have people over for brunch, I sometimes just want to put out like bagels and cream cheese and smoked salmon, but it doesn't seem like I've put in enough effort. It doesn't seem special enough. When I do this, I'm not actually putting out that much effort. I'm really just softening the cream cheese and spreading it on. Everything else is exactly the same, but it looks so amazing that it seems really, really special and really extravagant, and everybody just wants to dig in. So, so fun. So you could do that for a dinner, you could do it for brunch, however you want to do that cream cheese board with those garlic toasted bagels. So that is our meal plan for the week. And that is our show for the week. Thank you so much, Rebecca Wheeler from Chicago Food Walks, for being an amazing guest and giving us all those tips. Thank you to Tufan Bakeries for being our first official sponsor. We are so excited to be working with you and just enjoying all of your products and making all these great recipes. It has been so much fun. Thank you for listening. If you want to get that meal plan or listen to other episodes, head to cookthestory.com/meal plans. And this is number 112. When you go to cookthestory.com/meal plans, you see all the meal plans there that we've done. And when you click on them, you see the episode that goes with that meal plan and then all the links for the meal plan, so you can pull together your weekly dinners very, very easily. So thanks again for listening. I hope you have a wonderful Thanksgiving week. And I want to say thank you to Audio Snack for all the great music. Have a wonderful week.
You make me wanna